Andrea from Lemoore, California, and you're watching Gospel Tangents, your best source for Mormon history, science, and theology.
I'm Rick Bennett. Both Joseph Smith and James Strine died in a hail of bullets. In our next conversation with historian Bill Shepard, we'll learn more about the death and assassination of James J. Strine. Check out our conversation. Hey, I just wanted to mention one other thing. Beyond the Blocks is an awesome podcast, and it seeks to center the narratives of the marginalized in conversations on Mormonism. A Black lifelong member and queer theologian, Brother Jones and Brother Knox seek to fill the gaps between Mormon theology and Mormon culture that find all kinds of identities may claim a seat at the table of Christ. So check out Beyond the Block. It's a great podcast. Now back to our conversation. So let's back up just a tiny bit. Okay, so we're back on Beaver Island.
Right.
Because I know that he was like, I know John Hamer has said that he was a state legislator and also a king.
Yeah. So when the Mormons came to Beaver Island, in the best Mormon tradition, they went after the people that were selling the liquor to the Indians and abusing the Indians and on the, you know, the Native Americans on Beaver Island. And of course, this did probably more than anything else to raise the ire of the people. And as it's written that these people were on the fringes of the law, and many of them were Irish, and you know, they were fishermen, and they were just right on the frontier, and they were pretty hardcore people. So when they were not allowed to sell their liquor, you know, to run over the Indians or the Native Americans and so forth, that is going to create a huge problem. And another major problem is going to be what throughout, just as happened in Hancock County and especially Hancock, you have this big influx of people. And of course, this is the nothing hurts more than having people come in and you lose your right to dominate politics. So this is a major thing in Beaver Island, as it was, of course, in Nauvoo. So there are many things that and another thing that's going to raise the ire of the people are these rumors about polygamy. So as you would well know, Strang says that he ran for the legislature in Michigan so that he could represent his people and prevent, you know, their expulsion. And evidently he was a very successful lawyer, lawmaker and so forth, and represented. And he is actually going to, there's going to be a gunboat come into the steamer Michigan. It's going to come in the Beaver Island. They're going to arrest Strang. They're going to arrest a bunch of the leading men, and they're going to take them to Michigan and put them to Detroit and put them on trial. So it was in which they are cleared of all charges, but they're incarcerated for long enough to make it really hard on getting the crops in and so forth.
Yeah, and so essentially with the alcohol, James Strang was just simply enforcing the word of wisdom and which, you know, wanted to prohibit the alcohol.
That's right.
Yeah. So it was also to kind of prevent the... Do you guys call them Gentiles like we do?
Yes. Excuse me.
Yeah, no problem.
I just get dry.
Oh, yeah, no problem. So that created a lot of animosity
very
as well.
Much so.
Now, I know that originally he was not a polygamist, and then I think it was because of the Book of the Law of the Lord was where he became a polygamist. Is that right?
He is going to say that, and maybe in the best Mormon terms too, that he felt inspired. But when the Book of the Law of the Lord came in it was kind of a dominion. We realize that the kingdom would have been there as long as the priesthood is there, but this was a dominion. Dominion with Strang as king, as Strang, I would say, as Moses was the king, as Christ was the king, and so forth like this. It wasn't a temporal king, it was a spiritual king. Okay. And with this coming in place, there's organizations, different offices. You still have your people in the first presidency, in the 12, and so forth down the line. But some terminology was changed, like the king's court, which was simply just a stake court. Okay. or whatever like this. So the idea of the dominion, what they would call the the first dominion, was I guess Strang eyes were looking in preparation for maybe like other Mormons for preparing for the end times. Mm-hmm. or something like this.
Okay, so he's on Beaver Island. He creates a lot of political enemies, and I guess religious as well.
And not only that, there's Alexander Wood Wentworth and Thomas Bedford, two Mormons, obviously ex-Mormons, and one of them, with the strict laws that the Strangites tried to enforce, there was a case of adultery. And the grieved man I testified and so forth. So the seducer is whipped, and of course he hated Strang. Mm. For that. Now there was a merchant, an ex-Mormon by the name of McCullough on Beaver Island, and we think that McCullough was in league with the United States government, with the steamship Michigan is going to steam into the port. Strang is going to be at his home, and they're going to say they want you on the dock, and he's going to walk down to the dock, and Whitworth and Bedford are going to jump out behind him and shoot him down. Particularly one ball goes clear up by the skull, and he is mortally wounded at this time. Bedford and Wentworth are going to run down to the ship, and the ship's going to take them out of there. They're going to take them to Mackinac and put them in jail, I think, for just a couple minutes. They're going to come out and celebrate. And so these two fellows are never brought to justice for what they did. They were greeted as history, as heroes among the non-Mormons. It looks like there is some kind of an evil cabal or something with some elements of the government because of the role of the steamship coming in, United States.
It was Navy. A Navy ship, right?
Right.
U.S.
Yeah.
Navy.
Yeah. So whatever the course, a man I know a lot about and have written about is Wingfield Watson, a settler. He lives 6 miles inside the island with his wife, with his homestead, had a son and a daughter, about one, and then an infant. So these people that ransacked the island, basically, as the books seem to indicate, drunken Irishmen, these people that are on the fringe of the law, they come to this Wingfield Watson's house and they say, you have an hour to get your stuff and get there and take what you can carry. So this is repeated all over the island, but these people 6 miles inside, it's really a hard trip, Once a lot of people take their goods down to the pier, the dock, so they could, you know, take them with them, and of course they're confiscated. So the Mormons are stuck on these ships, penniless. It's really heartfelt. Here's the Watson family. They have a young boy, but they have the year old, and they have an infant, you know, walking 6 miles and carrying the kids and so forth. So it is really a tragedy to the Strangites, because, yeah. and many Strangites are going to say, enough.
Yeah, because I know John Hamer has talked about this. You know, we in the Utah church, we talk about the horrible things that happened with the pioneer travels. But a story that I think almost all Utah Mormons have never heard of a Strangite.
That's true.
And so because of that, don't understand what happened on Beaver Island. Because the Strangites were just literally scattered and dropped off penniless.
Yes, yes. And this Wingfield Watson that I wrote about in 2008, 2009, John Whitmer Journal, they took him to Chicago and they dumped him on the wharf. And there's a story that Watson is going to say that here are these poor drago people, and he said some non-Mormon opened his warehouse door and said, come in, ladies and gentlemen, out of the cold, you know. So, and that was, but Watson, it was typical, because he has to go back to the Black River Falls, Wisconsin area, to his family, had nothing else he could do. Other Mormons are separated. Some of the men were on missions, and they have no idea for a long time where their family's at. So there was this, certainly a diaspora, and some of the Strangites are going to say, enough, you know, and so they're going to leave. But those Strangites that are going to remain loyal are going to keep their belief. There was a few of the 12 apostles who tried to lead the church. But Strang, as he was dying, he said, let the men see to themselves, do what they can for their families, and you know, and wait. But he didn't, his dying words were, you know, he didn't say he wouldn't appoint a successor or whatever. He just let the people.
Yeah, because I guess he lived for about a week after he was shot, is that right?
Yes, he's taken off, you know, and transferred back to Burlington. He's going to die in my area.
Okay.
And but he does linger in and out of consciousness, but he didn't appoint a successor.
And so because he didn't, you no longer have a prophet.
No.
He was the second prophet and the last, right?
The Strangites would say, I think it's due to Nephi, third chapter, that in the dispensation there's to be two prophets. So it'd be a stick of Ephraim and a stick of Judah. And the Strangites would say that Joseph Smith and James J. Strang are the two prophets prophesied in this dispensation. And so without going too deep into it, based upon the Book of Mormon prophecies, 1 Nephi 13 and 42 talks about the time will come when Christ will come, Jews to the Gentiles, and then the Gentiles to the Jews. And then, so 3 Nephi 16 and 10 talks about the gospel being rejected and then taken to the Jews. So Strangites believe that the Gentile portion of the dispensation was the gospel was rejected. that the Gentiles did not accept the teachings of Joseph Smith or James J. Strang, and that the gospel in its fullness is rejected. Strangites now look upon themselves kind of like Jethro's, and Jethro, of course, is the father-in-law of Moses, who Moses finds in the wilderness in Sinai. Jethro was a high priest. He ordains Moses the high priest. And then the angel in 7th chapter of Acts ordains him to be a full prophet. So Strangites see themselves as being in an interregnum period, waiting for God to set his hand a second time. And the second portion of the dispensation will be opened in its fullness, and that will be a prophet of Judah who will do a marvelous work and so forth.
Okay. So with the death of James Strang, because you guys had 12 apostles at the time, right?
Yes.
But you no longer have apostles?
No. As the apostles died off, the people found themselves with the highest priesthood that they could self-sustain. It was the office of high priest. So they have a few high priests to kind of stand at the head of the church.
Okay, so the apostles couldn't ordain other apostles?
They did, but when they died off, I believe the prophet would have to
call a new apostle.
Apostles.
Okay, so apostle can't call an apostle.
Yes.
Okay. And so when the apostles died, that was it.
Yes. A man named Wingfield Watson, who was truly a great man. He tried to keep the church in reasonably intact until his death in 1922. So he's going to, his main enemy is not going to be the Brighamites. His main enemy is going to be the reorganized church.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
Because
yes.
The reorganized church was doing a lot of missionary work, right?
Well, remember how the reorganized church, what they do to the Cutlerites or to the otherites, you know, they just chew them up, the ones that didn't go west. And the same thing is going to happen with the Strangites. The new organization started in 1850, Gurley, Briggs, and Marks, and so forth. But when young Joseph Smith comes on board in 1860.
The third.
Oh, yes. They're going to just take most of the surviving Strangites. And there's going to be very prominent Strangites that, of course, go into the reorganization. So even though you have this Wingfield Watson and a few other people trying to keep the church alive, and thus far it has been kept alive, and it has probably 80 members at this time. But it's for being the small church, it's doing reasonably well.
So there are just 80 Strangites?
Probably.
In Wisconsin?
And probably a whole.
Okay. Oh, in the world?
Yes.
Okay.
So there's not a huge bunch, sir, obviously.
Because I thought there was a split of some sort. Is that true or is that not true?
There's always been splits, I think. Always schisms, you know, always offshoots. I don't know when you're talking, but I can't emphasize enough the impact of young Joseph Smith. That just, that really fractured the church.
Okay. I hope you enjoyed our conversation with historian Bill Shepherd. In our next conversation, we'll talk about Strangite beliefs about Jesus. There are some really startling differences.
He taught that Joseph and Mary were the natural father and mother of Jesus, that he was conceived as everyone else is.
If you'd like to hear the entire interview uncut, please subscribe to patreon.com/gospeltangents, and for just $5 a month, you can hear the entire interview without any interruption. If you'd like a paperback version of our transcripts, go to amazon.com and do a search for Gospel Tangents Interview. Also, if you'd like to give the money to me and not Amazon, please subscribe on my website, and I'll be able to send you a transcript as soon as they are completed, and click the subscribe button. You can also find our latest information on facebook.com/gospeltangents, as well as we're on Twitter @gospeltangents. And don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts. The link is at tinyurl.com/gospeltangents, and you can subscribe there. Also, please give us a 5-star review. If you want to support all of the podcasts as part of the Dialogue Podcast Network, go to lyceum.fm, that's lyceum.fm, and do a search for Dialogue Podcast Network or Gospel Tangents, because, you know, that's a pretty cool one too. Thanks again for listening. Click here to subscribe, here for a transcript, and over here we've got some of our great videos. Thanks again.